You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the one and only Joe Vavra. Joe, I got to tell you, man, you had them on the right track in Detroit, and since you left, they can't hit anymore. What happened?
No comment. You know, they're having maybe the worst year in the franchise history. That's what all the reports are saying. That's too bad because some of those guys had such a good start to their career, and, you know, next year, who knows? Or later this year, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the Twins took it to them. Good for the Twins. And here we are.
Yeah, some of the statistics indicate it's the worst offensive year since 1904 in the big leagues, depending on what stat you use. Now, if you have guys that are going bad like that, you've been through this, where you have a team and team's in a slump, whatever. Where do you start when it seems to be kind of contagious? How do you start getting guys so that you start to generate offense and you get up around 5-6 runs a game if you can?
Well, there's usually no quick fixes, but if you get too in-depth with guys, they'll never come out of it. So there's a lot of, you know, idiosyncrasy things you can try. And but, you know, when you got a whole lineup going bad, it's tough. I used to like to just try to have three guys going good. They could carry the ball club, and then, you know, a couple guys do okay, and then, you know, or maybe three guys going. So three guys in the lineup aren't doing that well, and they're the ones you really concentrate on. But you can't forget the guys that are going hot, because as soon as you turn your back on them in a work day, then all of a sudden they tank. So it's all about the process. If you're dedicated to your routine that makes sense, and it really is, you know, it's a progression type thing in hitting, and, you know, if you see, you take them, hey, we're right here, we want to get up here, you know, we got to stay with this progress to get up there. And so if you can get them to buy into that and it makes sense, and it's really their routine, because you don't want to have it say, hey, this is Joe Bobber's routine. No, it's your routine. You name it, you do it, and if you like it, we're going to continue it. And then, hey, take the lows the way they are, you know, the highs will start coming. So you see a little bloop here and a cracked bat, and when it falls in front of the mound, you can't feel it, you're on your way.
Yeah, just get something going. So that brings us to, and Joe Vavra is our guest, a former hitting coach for the Minnesota Twins and Detroit Tigers. And speaking of, you know, how do you bring a guy out of a slump? How do you recognize if you're even in a slump? Sometimes you're hitting the ball well and you're just not getting hits. Miguel Sano, I would venture to guess they'll bring him back tomorrow against Milwaukee. His rehab assignment is up with the St. Paul Saints. And you worked with Miguel some. And, I mean, he has been all over the map in terms of as a hitter and what he can do and guessing. And man, when he hits it, it goes far. And everybody goes, well, God, I love watching the threat, and I love the threat of him. But, man, he strikes out a lot. Why does he strike out so much?
Well, you know, he wants the big bombs. I mean, he wants to put in the seats. He wants to swing out of his, you know what. And that's hard to control the barrel, to keep the barrel in the zone. You know, I've seen that guy when he's so good, and then I've seen him so when he's so bad, and when he's so bad, they just consistently pound him with the same thing, and yet he don't make the adjustments. So it's hard to tone down those swings we talked about in the last time I was on. You know, these guys, you know, they're hitting to the shifts, and they don't care because they want to launch and all that stuff, and you know, you just see him. It's really hard to slow down the barrel. I call the middle neutral, and then once you find a contact point to hit the ball at the middle, you can kind of take off a little bit to go the other way, or you can get out in front to pull. But that middle is kind of your stabilizer for everything. And you know, he has a hard time with that. He's so big now. He's so heavy, so thick. This is a monster of a guy, and he just has a hard time slowing it down. But I saw him at the Saints game about a week or so ago. I went up there for a game, and he actually a couple good at bats, you know. Looked like he was the same old guy, but I haven't seen him since. So it's one of those things. When he gets hot, he'll carry the ball club.
So do you, with a guy like that, you know he's going to swing as hard as he can. Do you just tell him to guess? Just go ahead and guess on every pitch, because if you guess right, the rest will take care of itself. And I don't. It's not working doing it the other way. So you just say, just guess every pitch.
No, I've never done. Mike, I can't tell anybody to guess. I'm from the non-strikeout area.
I know. That's why this is so complicated to watch, you know?
I can't handle guys that don't just, they walk back to the benches, you know, and it's no big deal. I just can't handle that. It just took three pitches down the middle, and you're sitting on a slider. Oh, way to go. Are you happy? I don't get it. No, I don't go up there and guess. And, you know, maybe the outcome would be the same, might be better. Who knows? You know, that's what a lot of the analytical guys say. Hey, you're going to sit on this pitch, and it's too hard to guess counts. You know, to me, the guys get overwhelmed when you start going, hey, it's he's going to throw this. It's probably the easiest count to remember. You know, it gets to 0-1, you're going to do this. So 1-0, he's going to do this. 1-1. They can't digest it. They're looking at way too many pitches on the pitching staff now, sure, to try to compute all that stuff. So, but they do know the guy's strength. And if you're watching, you're paying attention, you see that he's not getting a slider over. He's not getting over right-handers. He's doing okay with lefties. You watch, you know, you watch his pitches. You start cutting them off and see, you know, a fastball, riding fastball, check. He goes for a strike. Slider down away out of the zone. Lay off of it. That's hard to do. But some guys guess the pitch really good. And they commit to it because they guessed it right. And it might not even be close. It might bounce. But they guessed it right. They saw a spin. You know, that's just what.
Who was the best you ever saw at game day in-game adjustments in terms of being able to process that quickly?
Well, you got a couple. Like Maurer and Morneau, obviously, they were really good about, you know, watching each other's bats. And, you know, Span was good. Now, I'm talking about the guys that had coming up through was pretty darn good. And, you know Cabrera he was fine, and he come back from surgery in 2020 when they had him at that COVID year. He was coming back from surgery and kind of no fans in the stand and stuff like that. But he makes the adjustment per pitch, and he doesn't necessarily sit on one pitch. But there's a number of guys that have been making. I like the rise, man. That guy just gets hit to him. And he doesn't even have to, you know, he's not going to be a guy that's going to get kind of fooled by, you know, kind of get it set up, I should say. He's not going to get set up pretty good because he goes back to neutral. He goes back to, you know, looking for the ball probably down the middle of the plate and saying, hey, 2 feet, 2 inches outside, I can go with it, 2 inches inside, you know, way inside, fight it off if it's a strike. So, you know, he battles. He's just fun to watch. And incidentally, Mike, Cleveland the other night, I turned on MLB.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have a hard time watching, you know, like the highlights because it's all home run, home run.
Yep.
And I was totally taken back when I watched the other night, and it was hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. And that was Cleveland. They had all the soft singles, whatever, score runs, battling, high fastballs, fighting them off. And then they went right to Arise. Bam, base hit, scores a winner, nice going.
Now Arise, you know, he was a decent hitter coming through, but all of a sudden he skyrocketed this year. Is that one more adjustment that he made, or how do you explain a guy taking that quantum leap?
You know, a lot of times the league don't overwhelm them. And if they can battle when they're young and fight off and give good at-bats, maybe their average and stuff isn't very good, but doesn't overwhelm them, they'll make the adjustments. You know, you've got quite a few guys on that club that are going to be that way. You know, like a Polanco, probably. He didn't get overwhelmed. Didn't necessarily do that great, but he just, you know, early on had the soft lawn and didn't really put in the seats. But now he's a mature baseball player, major league player. He can move the ball around. And, you know, he's better from one side to the other, but he's tough. He's not an easy out, so.
Okay, yeah, and I always, yeah, because Polanco's one of those guys, when he comes up, you feel like, okay, we want this guy up right now because he's going to give you a quality at bat because, as you mentioned, he doesn't get overwhelmed and there's a chance he could do something with it and put it out of the park, or at least if he hit a gap. Byron Buxton was an all-star, and certainly the home runs are there, but he also only hit .216 in the first half of the season. What do you see when you see him? Because you talk about hot and cold. You'll go, God, he had that great two home runs. And then you look and you go, yeah, and he's in an 0-for-16 slump. He's had that kind of a year. What do you see?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Last year, before he got injured, he was that MVP type candidate, mm-hmm. I believe. I don't get to watch him every night like I used to, but I just think he made the adjustment, the slider, not a not an enemy anymore. If it hangs, he's got it. He gets the barrel out front. Maybe doesn't have to utilize his speed so much, but boy, the ball's in the gaps, and all it's easy triples for him. So he's just getting the barrel out there. I think average, yeah, could he hit a little better? But
is that because he punishes you when you make a mistake, but he still hasn't mature enough where he can beat you if you throw your best pitch?
Yeah, he's close. So, you know, you saw it last year whether he was there. There was no doubt about it. And it comes and goes, but, you know, it's probably there more times than it's not. And, you know, he's making the adjustments. So that's one thing that, you know, when he was really going bad, it never got to him. Not bad, anyway, not outwardly. Maybe internally he was ready to come off the bridge, but he was pretty good on the outside. And, you know, just, I'm going to get him tonight and tomorrow night. I'm going to get the guy. No problem. So.
And sometimes we do forget, like, Torrey Hunter matured a lot as a hitter over the years, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Torrey didn't like the ball inside,
mm-mm.
You know, and it was visible to everybody, all fans, and everything, that he just didn't like the ball upside, which really set him up for pitches away. They teased him in, and then, you know, once he started figuring out those are all setups, they're for show, and I'll just be able to cover that plate. He could use the whole field, and he could hit for power, and, you know, there's a perennial all-star gold glover that had, you know, the confidence, you know, to the moon and back on his defense. And, you know, those type of guys, if they excel on one side of the sport, of the field, like Buxton,
yeah,
their offense is going to come around because they're going to get enough opportunity and they're going
to
be able to have a lot of chances. So,
yep.
You know, they just excel on one side and then pretty soon the offense starts to come along because, hey, you got to have that defense out there and this guy's going to be a monster someday and well enough he does.
Big Poppy, David Ortiz, you competed against many times, and I'm sure as a hitting coach, you watched him closely, and, you know, I knew him here in Minnesota, and obviously, he, his career becomes Hall of Fame. We all know the story. What was he all about? I mean, a big guy like that doesn't run well, that can hit for that kind of average. Explain that.
Well, Big Poppy, he had a good foundation. You know, he came up with the Twins. He knew how to hit the ball, use the whole field. So that was always in his back pocket. I think as you'll notice, maybe he's pull up some videos, you know, when he turned his foot in so he didn't have to probably pivot as far. That's a mechanical thing, you know.
Yep.
He didn't have to pivot that backside so much. He's a big dude, and he doesn't have to pivot a full 90 degrees to get the barrel out on the pull side. So he puts it in, you know, he toes it in, and he has to pivot 45. He's a lot quicker. And all of a sudden, fastballs and stuff are easy because he doesn't have all that turn, and his hands were lightning. They were... You're really good. He was a really good hitter with Minnesota. I think the knee issue was kind of a deal for him. And, you know, there was some doubt about his career because maybe his health. But, man, you know, I think because he was groomed well early on, I think that set the stage for him to be confident, you know, that he could go the other way in Fenway Park or, hey, I can pull all day long. So, you know, I think he went into the right situation, right ballpark, and, you know, the rest is history. Good for him.
Carlos Correa can hit for power, and he can do some different things for you. I've been really impressed with him as a baseball player, especially how strong his arm is. Holy cow, I couldn't believe that. That's 105-mile-an-hour fastball when he needs it from the shortstop position. But as a hitter, he's long and lanky. I mean, he looks like an athlete when he steps out on the field. You say that's got to be the best player on the field. He's got that look and that it about him. What do you see from him? This is the first time I've watched him, obviously, multiple at-bats.
Well, his hands are always ready. They're always in the right spot. You know, he doesn't take it. You know, there's no extra at the top. The hands are ready. They're loaded, you know, so the ball's out of the pitcher's hand. He's recognizing it. He doesn't go backwards from there. So everything's forward. He's been kind of on fire. He's been a catalyst lately, from what I've been seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, some long balls and, you know, left center in the deep part of the ballparks. And he's been doing that guy. But then I look at the dugout and I see how he is as a teammate. And just the players rally around him. You know, he'll sit on the bench and he'll talk to three or four players after he has a big home run or a big hit or something like that. Or maybe they did. And he'll talk to him. So he's, you know, that goes a long ways as far as his character, helping young guys, helping veterans. He's a veteran now. He's kind of passing it back and forth. But I'm more impressed what he does after he goes back to the – he doesn't sit and sulk and you know, he gets over it. He's been through the wars.
All right, last question. I saw a father and a son, or maybe it was the coach, I don't know, at a ballpark the other day, and the kid had like a stick. Now, I mean, it was a baseball bat grip, but it was made for this, and it's more like a stick than it is a bat. And he was throwing him little plastic golf balls, and I thought that has got to be perfect for hand eye coordination. Is that a great drill for somebody to do? Will the ball always seem big if you can handle a plastic golf ball with a stick?
No doubt about it. No doubt. I mean, that's why the old wiffle ball had such a, you know,
yeah,
bigger ball, little tiny bat, and the idea was that you know, square it up with that, you know. So, heck, Tony Bautista, I mean, he had me down before the games flipping in popcorn seats.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Popcorn seats. He'd square them popcorn seats up, and I'm going,
you'd do a soft toss with popcorn seats.
Oh, yeah, before every game. Come down, he'd pull out his back pocket, his pants, hand me a handful of seeds.
Wow.
And I'd be flipping them popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't make that up. It's pretty good, you know. He had the most eccentric type of batting stance. I guess maybe he needed that, but, yeah.
He's well, that day you hit three at Target Field, kaboom, 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 I said, there you go. I can see why you like him, you know?
Yeah. He's all right, so, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, appreciate it very much. Hope we can tap into you, but I love talking hitting with you.
All right, Mike. And you know what? I'm just out here. I'm enjoying a little bit of old-time country music at some Riverside Park or something like that in Altoona, Wisconsin. You know, just enjoying the night.
Okay, well, don't get too old too quick on us, okay? You're not that old.
Heck no.
No, you sit down at the park and listen to country music, okay? All right, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, waiting for some new stuff. See ya. Bye.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.